Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes!
Rob, did I scare you?
No, it's funny because like just before the podcast, Keenan and I were talking about how like we probably given ourselves like permanent ear damage just from how loud we have our music over the years. And like I had, because we were just having conversation before we got started, so I had my volume turned up in my headphones a little bit. So when it started, I was like, oh
no shit,
came in hot.
At least you did, and you took it though.
I saw it. No, Rob was adjusting. Rob was adjusting.
He adjusted it, but you didn't do the my ears.
I didn't. I took that damage.
Well, welcome to another episode of Animation. Three quarters of the squad is back. No bitch ass, ho ass Brennan. He's not up in this building today. We got Killer Cam back in the building with us. What up, Killer Cam?
Killer Cam.
Oh man, yeah, man. Great times. If you guys are part of that Patreon, or if you just heard us talking about it, man, you knew we were trying to get to 100 patrons, and we did that. We got over 100 patrons. We thank you guys for doing that, and you know what that meant. That meant that we were taking Rob to a black barbershop.
Black barber?
And damn it. That's what we did this past weekend.
You did it?
Yes, we did. It was a hell of a time. We went to our boy. His name is T-Rail Jones, man.
We went to our boy. His name is
No, no, because I keep saying
I got you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try to get his ad name down. But it's I am. It's that I am T-Rail Jones. T R E L L Jones. I am T-Rail Jones. He's a celebrity barber, master barber in Los Angeles, California. He's done a lot of different cuts. He's done Daniel Kaluuya. He's done a couple other celebrities.
I didn't know that till today.
Yeah. So yeah, he does some great work. But he hooked our boy Rob up, man. How do you feel about your overall barber experience, black barber experience, Rob?
It was cool. It was a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. I'll be honest, like I usually when I get my hair cut, like I don't even necessarily go to the same person. I go to the same place, and like if I get the same person, like cool. If not, whatever. I'm very low maintenance. I go in there. I don't have a lot of conversation because I'm just like, I'm just here to get my hair cut and I go. This was like a full on, like we were talking, we were there, we were joking around. It was a really good time. T-Row was great. I didn't catch the other barber's name that we were hanging out with, but he was really funny. Cool. He was a good sport. It was really cool. I definitely feel like it was an experience. I'm glad I had it.
Yeah, man. It was super fun because, I didn't even know that he was actually an anime guy himself too.
No,
yeah.
We walked in there. He had a bunch of just like anime figures up like in the barbershop. Right. He had what tattoo did he have on his thigh?
He had Jiraiya.
Yeah, Jiraiya.
Oh no, he had a tattoo of Jiraiya on his calf, and then he had a Kakashi tattoo on his thigh, which is a terrible story behind that.
that was a heartbreak.
Right when he got the tattoo, he got fucking COVID, so he couldn't take care of it. And it just looks a black blob
of like
of just like stuff
on
his legs.
What do you mean by like couldn't take care of it?
Like he couldn't like maintain it, clean it,
get the gel
lotion it, get it tightened up, everything. Yeah, so it's just
it's legible, I guess, in a sense, right?
Yeah, you can
tell.
See it.
You
know it's Kakashi, but it's like you can tell it didn't get the time. And he
that's rough.
Yeah, that's permanent ink on your body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he did a great job, man. We made sure we got Rob. We got Rob a taper. You know what I'm saying? If you know what that is in the black barbershop world, it's just a simple haircut, slight fade to the sides in the back, line up the beard, hit the beard with the razor's edge. That's how you got to clean it up towards the end. And he did Rob real nice with that. What'd your lady think about it?
Oh, she was a fan. She enjoyed it. She was just like, oh yeah, you look good. You look good.
She's like, ah,
you look like you, but a little more. Tightened up.
The
first thing Rob said was just like, I like the way my jawline looks.
He gave me a jawline again. I will say, what was the stuff he gave me at the end, like the lotion or whatever?
So it's like a little sheen and then alcohol to like when they clean you. When
that
clean
shit
you.
Burned.
Yeah,
I was just like, be strong.
Oh,
don't let him know.
Like a G
he
too.
Took it like a G because I was like, oh, here we go.
Rob
and then you just
budge.
Like you just took it. I was just like, all right.
Yeah, normally some people's first time getting that, you go.
It was a surprise.
Yeah,
it was definitely. A surprise.
So for you, it's just you didn't get like the lineup in the front because it's how your hair is. It's like normally that's where it kind of gets. That's the real burn.
Yeah, it's like that taper is all right, but when it hit here,
yeah.
Woo!
He go through here and hit you with here a few times. You'd be like, oh god.
I was just like, yeah, just be strong. So don't let him see you crack.
He was talking to you. He was just like, oh, okay, yeah. And like, no, I was like, damn, all right, Rob.
Yeah, man. So we got some dope barber talking there. So if you're on the Patreon, we threw up a clip. It's a nice, like, about 7-minute clip of, you know, some speed through, some actual conversation of us talking in there. Brennan came through with little Link, his little son.
Yeah.
He came through, showed up towards the end.
We had the ring light. We had the whole thing going.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a super dope experience, man. So you got to join that Patreon. That's going to be a Patreon exclusive. It's not coming anywhere else. We're probably not going to ever drop it on just regular stuff.
No.
So it's only a Patreon exclusive if you want to see that video. Join that, man. That's why you join the Patreon. It's for you specifically. You know what I'm saying? Patreon.com/animationshun. Y'all did this, man. Y'all got Rob this cut. This is y'all. Y'all did this. So thank y'all again, man. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
Absolutely. That's what we do, man.
Appreciate you, patrons.
Appreciate y'all so much, man. So you know what we're doing here. We talk our shit, do our one-offs. You know, this week we'll be discussing, we told y'all to watch if you wanted to, Cyberpunk Edgerunners. We did episodes 1-3. But first, as always, we got a nice little poll for y'all. Rob, what you got for us, poll?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I would ask Ice if he can take us through this one, because it was Ice's poll that he put up. I don't know all these powers all that well. Like, some of these people I recognize, some of these people I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So can you explain with the poll a bit?
Yeah, so this poll, let me pull it up too, it's an eye poll. It's an ocular poll. So we have...
Showdown.
Yeah, at first, so I thought of different ways. I was like, okay, pick one ocular power and see which one is stronger. But I'm like, nah, I'm going to do some team action. I'm going to put a team of eyes together and see where that, you know, see which side you pick. So we got on one side... We have Team A is the Millennium Eye that's sported by Pegasus, like I have on my shirt, Mr. Yugi Boy. We got the Geese Eye, which is from Code Geass. Lelouch is his power is his eye. Then we got probably the most famous eye of the group, and probably maybe one of the most famous eyes of all of anime,
Gojo,
the Shine Gun for Itachi. Oh. The Shine Gun's way more popular than. And then the last one we have, Foresight, that's by, what's the guy's name? Night Eye. Yeah. So we got Foresight that's using Night Eye, and we can go into, you know, what the uses for these eyes are in a second.
Yeah. What's like, what is Millennium Eye? Cause like, obviously I know Yu-Gi-Oh is like a card playing show, but like, how does that work into it?
So Millennium Eye is basically, you can kind of read, I'll read the specific thing. The Millennium Eye primary ability is to peer into the mind of an opponent, which allows the owner to know what they're thinking at all times, no matter.
Pegasus, that dude's eye. Sorry, I walked out.
Yeah, so that's basically his power. So like me, like Yugi Boy, like Pegasus was like Yugi's first real antagonist. He had Kaiba and stuff. Like Kaiba was there.
That's
but
what
like,
I was familiar with.
Yeah, Kaiba was in Seto Kaiba, but like Pegasus was like the first first antagonist. He had all these toon cards, which was like toon versions of like other monsters, and like he was putting Yugi into it. Like he had him in a Hell in a Cell, and Yugi was kind of fucked up, but he was so many steps ahead of Yugi because he knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And as you can, like, he's showing the eye on, like, this Hype Land shirt that I have. Shout out to Hype Land. But, like, throughout the duel, he usually had that eye covered. But he was able to see Yugi's, like, what he was doing. He can see his cards. He can see his hand. All of that stuff with the Millennium Eye. So he's like, okay, you got this, and this. All right, cool. I'm going to play, you know, this. Because that's the main part of Yu-Gi-Oh is like knowing, you know, trying to beat that person, and like knowing what that person has in their hand is just like Texas Hold'em in a sense. Like, if you know what they have in their hand, that gives you a big advantage. So I think that's one of the eye. The Geese Eye, that's by Lelouch, which is the main character of Code Geass. But what that one reads, and I haven't really watched Code Geass that much, but I knew it was a prominent eye in anime, so I wanted to include it. So I'm gonna just read what it says. The Geese, the name of the eye is called Geese. It said, Geese grants Lelouch the ability to control people's minds, but only once certain conditions are met. Now, I don't know what these conditions are, but I'm sure it's a hefty cost. It says, other Geese abilities include telepathic hearing, memory control, forcing someone to love the user, and precognition.
That's a
lot. Yeah. But in order to use it, making eye contact with the opponent is a must. So then, so that's the, again, I'm not a big Geese guy, but Code Geass, but it's a lot of people's favorite anime.
Definitely,
and I would be poll a disservice if I didn't include it. But from reading the powers, it was I was trying to power scale as much as I could. And then the third one, like I said, the most famous, the Sharingan Gun, it has so many things that the Sharingan Gun can do. I think at base level, you can really predict your opponent's movements. Mm-hmm. You can copy what they're doing.
Right.
You can, depending on what level you have it at, you can set somebody on fire to a level to a fire that they can't put out. Like, it's called Amaterasu.
Wow.
And you can, you know, put it out. You can, if a weapon is coming at you, you can suck it into the eye. Like, you're like, there's so many different levels of the Sharingan, but to give y'all, since I am a Naruto guy, I can give you a little context. It's like, one of these eyes to do the Amaterasu some of the stuff I was saying is like, you have to kill your best friend. Like, that's a requirement to get it. But the base level Sharingan is still pretty strong within itself.
Yeah.
And then the third one is Foresight, Sir Night Eye. We all know wasn't he Deku's mentor?
He did his like work study.
Yeah, he did his work study. I mean, outside of All Might, of course.
Because he was All Might's like sidekick, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was it Deku and Lumineon too? Because I thought it was Lumineon also.
Lumineon had done his thing with his work study with him as well. Because Night Eye was just like, Lumineon should be the inheritor of your powers.
Yeah.
He should be the next one up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that. So then it's a quirk. So Sir Night Eye bears the quirk Foresight, which allows him to see the future as through watching reels of film, typically through the eyes of a target. Typically through the eyes of a target he's made physical eye contact with. So it's like, the thing about his, he can see it a couple seconds in the show. Like, we remember from watching the show, it goes like the film reel comes and it's like, this happens. But it's nothing that he can really do about it. So, but you have an idea of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Team A. Team B is the Emperor Eyes. And then with the Emperor Eyes, we know that from our favorite show, Kuroko no Basket.
Yep.
Kuroko no Basket.
Did we see this on Kuroko no Basket?
I think this was a later.
I was
this
happened, so we only seen this.
Whoever the center is, the redhead guy, is his thing. Like, always the best player on the team outside of Kuroko. Right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Easy.
So, so this one is with this eye, he can nullify the opponent's move, sabotage whatever tactics they try to execute. Mm-hmm. He can see the details of a person's movements, including their breathing, their heartbeat, sweat, muscle contractions, all of that. In short, he can see the future of his opponent's moves. Now, for purposes of this, you know, some people play basketball, some people don't. So I was just thinking, like, the overall power of the eye.
Applicable to battle.
It doesn't necessarily have to be basketball related. And then a show that a lot of us like, we have the Jogging Eye. Mm-hmm. From Yu Yu Hakusho, which is a very popular character.
Yep.
His eye, basically, with the powers of that eye, he has telepathy, remote viewing, mind control, telekinesis, and demonic fire manipulation. I haven't finished Yu Yu Hakusho all the way. Have you guys seen him get active with his eye?
I feel like maybe I did, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, I gotta. I'm just on a little bit of season 2. I don't remember too much.
Okay. That's also so people that's watched the show that's finished Yu Yu Hakusho, I haven't got to the point where he got active with his Jogging Eye, so y'all tell me if it's lit or not. But reading it, all of the powers of it, I was like, okay, like this is legit. Anytime you include telekinesis, you got me.
Mm-hmm.
So then the last two, we got
You got Shinigami Eyes.
The Shinigami Eyes, which is like you sacrifice half of your life, but then you can see the lifespan of everybody around you. And just for argumentative sake, we said that you don't need the Death Note in a sense to use these eyes. So basically, mm-hmm. half your life, you can see the lifetime of everybody else around you except your own.
And their names, right?
And their names, yep. Mm-hmm. So then if you did have the Death Note, then you can really get active. And last but not least, probably one of the more popular eyes outside of the Sharingan, which is funny that it's so popular, but people still don't really know what it does. The Six Eyes, made popular by Gojo. As the Six Eyes is explained, Gojo has acquired a lot of his abilities, which includes limitless curse energy, infinity, six eyes. The six eyes allows Gojo to utilize his limitless techniques to his fullest extent. By using these eyes to refine reality, Gojo can distort time and space within the confines of a pocket universe. So it's like we've seen Gojo use this, and if you read the manga, he continues to use this from time to time. So we know what level this is. So that was one side, A side, B side. And it was really close.
It was.
It was a back and forth. I think initially people were going off of like what they know about which eye. But then when I seen, like, over time, people started looking it up and looking up which what eye means. And, you know, Team A got out to an early start.
Yeah.
With, you know, again, you got the Geese Eye and you got the Geese and the Sharingan on the same team. That's, you know, that's usually, you think that's a runaway, but then I think people started, I think it was Keith, that was like, hey guys, before y'all go voting, like, go look up what all of these eyes do. And then I think that's what people went, and then they kind of, not necessarily ran away with it, but.
Oh, yeah, Hiei can bring that demon down. You said what?
Hiei, if I forgot, he can. Hiei's eye or the
whatever? Yeah. So,
I did see him use that and get active. My bad.
Yeah. So then I think that's what I think when people started talking about that, I think that kind of tipped the conversation, because Shinigami eyes, people was like, man, I lose half my life. The Emperor eyes is kind of, you know, depending on what it is, hit or miss. But the six eyes is so heavily powerful, you can't put the Geese or the Shining Gun on that side. So it's like they kind of even itself out. But I think once people started reading Hiei's ability, they was like, all right, cool. So with that being said, Team B, so the Emperor Eyes, the Dragon Eyes, the Shinigami Eyes, and the Six Eyes, won by a very slim margin. It's probably been one of our closest polls in a while.
Oh, yeah.
A 56% to 44% win for Team B.
All right.
Yeah. That is a little surprising. I would have thought Team A would have run away with it, even just hearing you run through the powers.
Yeah. Which side are you guys taking?
I probably would have taken A.
I would have taken A myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and it's not to say that there isn't, like, good stuff on B. It's just, to me, like, I think the Six Eyes, like, as much as it's powerful, even the Jagan Eyes are pretty powerful. Like, Shinigami's like, eh.
Yeah.
And, like, we just don't know the full extent of the Six Eyes. I think it's super powerful, but, like, it feels like everything on Team A is, like, real world practical, like, you can do this.
Yeah.
Like, out in the real world. Like, even with the Six Eyes, it sounds like you have to have, like, in a pocket dimension. It's just like, well, that's not applicable in, like, day-to-day life. Every one of the things in Team A, like, you can just do out on the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I put it. All right. Thank you for that, Ice, for that poll.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, like I said, we don't have a whole bunch of time, so I'm trying to zoom through these factual actuals. Which means they're going to be waxual actuals.
Waxual actuals.
You're going to hear a lot of fumble-rooskies, baby.
Fumble-rooskies.
A lot of fumble-rooskies.
Here we go.
All right, man. Cyberpunk Edge Runners is an anime. It is based off a Netflix series they dropped this year, made by Studio Trigger. They did Kill la Kill, Little Witch Academia, Star Wars Visions, super dope animes.
They did all of that.
And Palos Video Game Studio Company, Project Red. They did the Witcher series and Cyberpunk 2077. The anime is a prequel to the game Cyberpunk 2077, and it takes place about a year before the actions of the game starts. All right. Directed by, start butchering.
It is.
Directed by Haruyuki Amashi. He's the key animator on Neon Genesis, FLCL, and Metabots, and Full Metal Alchemist. So that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Director on Kill la Kill, Garen Lagann.
Which Full Metal?
Huh?
The original, I think.
The original, Full Metal Alchemist. He's also director on Kill la Kill, Garen Lagann, Star Wars Visions, or the Twins episode, and notable voice actors on this show. Some pretty notable voice actors on this show.
Yeah.
David Martinez, or Martizan, sorry.
Or no, I think it is Martinez. I think I screwed up that spelling when
okay.
I copy-pasted.
So David Martinez, he's played by Zach Aguilar, so he's the main character of the show. The voice actor is actually Tanjiro from Demon Slayer and Genos on One Punch Man, Dr. Hito in Dragon Ball Heroes, and Blythe in the Fire Emblem and Super Smash Brothers. So he got a little...
He looked like a young guy.
Yeah. He looked super young. I think he's looking like probably like 19, 20.
Yeah, I thought he was in his 20s.
Yeah. He looked super, super,
super. He's been working for a while.
What ethnicity is he?
He's Latino.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Faraday played by Giancarlo Esposito. If you know who he is from Gus from Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, one of the great actor. Probably one of my favorite actors right now. Moff Gideon on Mandalorian, Stan Edgar on The Boys, many more. He got some fucking classic shows under his belt.
It does feel like right now if you need a villain, you pick up your phone and you call Giancarlo Esposito's agent to be like, get this man to be the villain on my show. That's right. He was in the Far Cry video.
He's got a hell of a resume.
Yes.
In the Japanese version, Faraday, the voice actor, is actually, his name is Kazuhiko, I'm butchering this, Ino, who did the voice of Kakashi on Naruto.
Oh, shit. All
right. Falco, who you haven't seen yet, is played by Matthew Mercer. He's been on stuff like Lord Brerwood on Vox Machina. He's Lord Brerwood on Vox Machina. Mm-hmm. Also an executive producer and creator of that show, so that's super dope.
Who was Kakashi again? My bad.
The guy who played Faraday. So, like, at the end of the third episode, when the dude shows up and he's got, like, all the eyes on one side, that's Faraday.
Oh. Yeah.
So we didn't see a whole lot of him. We have seen him briefly, but he's essentially, like, the funder of the Cyberpunks.
Chrome
and Fire Emblem and Smash Brothers. He also does Levi on Attack on Titan.
Oh, shit.
Ubu Yashiki.
Ubu Yashiki on a Demon Slayer. Right here. I just butchered that. Hit on Dragon Ball Super. Well, I love Hit. I love the character English and sub and dub and a ton of other voice acting stuff. So he's super dope. Currently, right now, the Rotten Tomatoes score for this show for Cyberpunk Edgerunners, this show, not the video game, 100% critic score, 97% audience score.
That is a high percentage.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's fucking crazy on both ends to be only like a 3% separation, and people, it seems like it's across the board critically acclaimed by people.
People have been enjoying it.
So those are the actuals. Actually, I did a pretty damn good job.
Not bad.
Those are factuals, tectactuals, actuals. Shout out to Rob. Rob actually put that together for me real quick, and I just read them through. So shout out to Rob for doing that, because if it was me, it would have been totally different. So go ahead, Rob, what you got for us to recap?
All right, we'll get into the recap. This is episodes 1-3 of Cyberpunk Edgerunners. We open up on the futuristic metropolis of Night City as a soldier gone cyber psycho, driven crazy by his cyber enhancements, absolutely blasts through an entire squad of police. And I really have to stress, this guy is like cutting dudes in half with knee blades, blowing people away with grenade launchers hidden in his arms, just murdering folks execution style, moving at super speeds. It's a slaughter. But he is eventually taken down and shot in the head by the military. And we see that this was all kind of a souped up VR experience that our main character, David Martinez, was living through. And apparently this was the memory of someone that had committed those crimes just a few hours earlier, fed to him by his friend and black market connection, Doc. The next morning, David wakes up his overworked mom, Gloria, to let her know they shut off their clothes washing service because of a lack of funds. She promises she'll have more money soon for that and upgrades for his school tech too. And on TV, we see that she's a paramedic and was on the scene cleaning up the cyber psycho's rampage that David had been living the night before. David insists that he doesn't need to, you know, don't worry about the school stuff. Him and Doc will figure it out and just get the upgrades that he needs on the cheap. David then hurries through the city, passing by fires, junkies, and dudes watching porn on the street. Finally, he gets to his school at the prestigious Arasaka Academy, and we see that a lot of his fellow students do not care for him, and that's only further reinforced when he tries to use his back alley upgraded equipment and crashes their whole education
back
program.
Alley.
Back with the back alley.
Got it from Maki's daddy.
Another back alley doctor, essentially. Yeah. Gloria is called down to the school and tries to save David from expulsion, but the principal says, you're going to have to pay for the program to get that fixed, and adding to their financial woes. On the way home, David just tells his mom he wants to drop out, just get to work, and help them make money. But Gloria protests, saying, like, I work hard to give you the opportunity for a better life and to get a better job than I ever had. And David's just like, hey, I'm sorry, Mom. You know, she gets upset. She starts crying.
In a short period of time, they really did a good job of solidifying that. Like, I was like, damn. Like, you out here working, Gloria, okay?
She is. Yeah. Mm. She's a good anime mom. At first, I was just like, this might be like Yusuke's mom. Like, she's just drunk on the couch or whatever. But no. She's tired because she's got a job. Yeah. A couple jobs, we find out. David agrees to stay in school, but just at that moment, they get caught up in a drive-by shooting and their car slams into a wall, throwing Gloria from the wreckage. David wakes up and finds himself trapped in his mother's body in the road. The paramedics arrive, but when they scan David and Gloria, they find they are uninsured and so leave them for what they call the meat wagons. Eventually, they're taken to a free clinic, and the doctor tells David his mom is healing up well, but it's going to cost him, and he gives David Gloria's belongings. When David gets home, he finds that they are being evicted for being late on rent. He sneaks into his place, and in his mom's belongings, he finds the Sandevistan spinal enhancement that the cyber psycho had used in his rampage to do his super speed stuff. He calls up the doc to see if he can sell it, but the price that he offers is just way too low. He's insulted. He hangs up. Next day, on his way to school, David is cornered by one of his rich classmates, Katsuo. Katsuo confirms that nobody in the school likes him, not because he's poor, but because he doesn't really try to fit in or work hard, or so he says. After implying Gloria must whore herself out to keep him in school, it turns to fighting time, but David and his regular fists are no match for Katsuo's upgraded hands and kung fu software. After he gets the shit kicked out of him, David is called back to the hospital where he is told his mother died unexpectedly and quickly learns that he can only afford to have her cremated. Even that is going to drive him further into debt. And when he gets home, he calls Doc to, you know, sell the Sand of a Stun again, only to find the price has dropped even lower. Enraged, he shows up at Doc's place and tells him, install it on me instead. Doc agrees, but says, hey, this could be bad for you, but, you know, I'll do it because it'll be a good time for me. After what seems like a very painful procedure, David returns to his enhancement to the Arasaka Academy and fights Katsuo in their classroom, this time using his souped-up speed from the Sand of Astan to beat the piss out of Katsuo.
Blood coming from his back the whole time, his spine.
It's coming through his jacket.
Yeah, he's in rough shape. Katsuo threatens, though, that, you know, hey, I'll have you expelled. David says he doesn't give a shit and goes home to sleep it off. Later, Katsuo's father, Tanaka, is contacted by the principal about the fight, but less concerned about that and more excited to see, hey, David seems to be able to use this experimental Sand of a Stun without going cyber psycho and resolve to track him down. Feeling lost, David starts walking around the city, eventually finding himself on the train. Watching the city go by, he becomes aware of a girl stealing people's enhancement chips. And when he goes to, when she goes for his, he uses the Sand of a Stun to stop her, catches her hand basically mid-pickpocket. She easily turns the tables on and pins him up against the wall and introduces herself as Lucy and offers to team up with him for a 70-30 split in her favor. The duo is able to snag a few extra chips together, but as they check their check out their haul later, David gets a terrible nosebleed and collapses from using the Sand of a Stun too much. And
like eight times.
Oh yeah, something like that. Lucy pulls a crazy. They call an ambulance, but the ambulance driver soon sticks them up, hoping to steal the spinal upgrade.
This is a fucked up city.
Lucy pulls a crazy move though. Opens up the back of the ambulance and rides David's stretcher to safety. She takes him to Doc, who then patches him up, but tells David, "Hey, you really should only be using this thing like 2-3 times a day maximum, not the 7 or 8 times he did." And, you know, basically also look into getting some immunosuppressants, which will help him from going cyber psycho. After, Lucy invites David to her place for a drink. She correctly guesses that he wants to be a cyberpunk, an outlaw in their society. And David notices a poster on her wall for a moon colony that, you know, he thinks is a prison. She disagrees and shows him, hey, I got this computer simulation that will kind of show you what it's up, what it's like up there on the moon. And they have a very like fun time and kind of romantic date on the moon, essentially, in this intense VR scenario. And it seems like they're having a nice time until another cyberpunk named Maine rips him out of the VR simulation and demands the Sand of Astan back and punches the shit out of David while Lucy just sits by watching, smoking a cigarette. David comes to and he's held upside down by Maine as he's flanked by two of his cohorts, Dorio and Pillar. They threaten to rip the Sand of Astan off of him, claiming that their contact Gloria sold it to them fair and square. And David is just like, hey, that's my mom. She's dead, but hey, I'll go to work for you to help pay off this debt. And Maine's very skeptical at first, but after David shows him that he can use the Sand of Astan well, he has Lucy place a tracker on him and agrees to give him one shot for Gloria's sake. After they leave, David confronts Lucy and she just tells him, hey, that's just part of the game. Apologizes for the loss of his mother, but David just silently and angrily leaves. Next morning, principal reaches out to David in an effort to lead him back to the school, tells him, hey, we're willing to, you know, let bygones be bygones, let you back into the school, no expulsion, and with a scholarship, all you got to do is apologize to Katsuo, but David just hangs up on him. He arrives at Maine's hangout and meets the new member of the gang, Kiwi, and as he gets a download on the job, they're tracking an important driver for the Arasaka Corporation who likes to bet on boxing matches. They have the match fixed so that his favorite boxer will lose / get killed, and he will go to a specific bar to drown his sorrows. And while he's asleep, drunk, David will use the Sand of a Stun to steal the keys, break into the car, and steal the navigation data. It's all going according to plan, until the driver gets a call from his boss and notices the keys are missing. Another gang member, Rebecca, tries to distract him with a quick handy, but still makes it out of the bar to find Lucy and David inside just as they are finishing hacking his system. Without any other choice, really, they drive the car off, but before long pick up a trail of a couple mercs hired by the Arasaka group to get the car back. As they come up into traffic, David activates the Sand of Astan to hop the divide and drive against the traffic. They lose one of their tails, but the other follows. That is until he is hit by a truck and just absolutely cut in half. They make it to the meetup spot, but the other merc trails him there. A fight ensues, and though David uses his super speed and Lucy's able to cut off one of his arms with some crazy thread she has, the merc is too much for them to handle. Luckily, Maine shows up, and he uses his upgraded strength to hit the merc in the face and hit the dude in the face with his own sword and then blasts him away with an implanted grenade launcher. A job well done. The gang celebrates that night. Maine tells David he's part of the gang now, but he'll still have to learn to stand on his own. He gives David a month's worth of immunosuppressants, his cut of the money, and the advice to keep upgrading his body whenever he can to become a better fighter. Soon, though, the gang's boss slash money man, Faraday, arrives, and he is unhappy that they caused such a scene. The idea of the job was to keep a low profile. Now their ultimate target, Tanaka, of all people, is sure to switch his habits up and be on high alert. He tells Maine to follow orders better, that he'll be in touch with more missions once the heat dies down. David's kind of worried, but Maine's just like, it's all right. We're celebrating tonight. David looks into the party for Lucy and sees that Pillar slides up to her and puts an arm around her with a drink. But Rebecca breaks his simping gaze to introduce herself and say, you know, hey, I look forward to working with you more. David gets another call from the Arasaka principal trying to lure him back to the school. But he tells him to fuck off and hangs up, only to look up and find that both Lucy and Pillar are gone. And that is where we finished off episode 3 of Cyberpunk Edge Runners.
Great job, Robert's recap, as always.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ran through that quickly. All right.
Man's a beast.
All right, question time. First question, has anybody ever on the show played Cyberpunk 20,002? Damn, goddamn.
What?
Take 99. Cyberpunk 2077. I don't know why that's so hard for me to say. The game is, that's the game the show is based off of. If so, what were your thoughts on it? If not, what have you heard about it? I know, you've actually played it. Go ahead.
Barely. I played a little bit of it. It was really glitchy. I got it, like, I red boxed the game, so like for the first 2 days, just to see, just
does
to
Redbox
be like,
exist?
Yeah, Redbox still exists. Yeah. I actually just bought some Redbox DVDs last week. They're like $3 on there, brand new movies.
Huh.
The more you know. This is brought to you by,
new sponsor.
it was very glitchy. I didn't have the new gen system at the time. I was still running it on my PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. And then the PlayStation 4 was damn near forgot about for that game. It was really glitchy on the new gens, the PS5s and the Xbox, the new Xbox. But it was really bad on those, but it was even worse on the last gen console. Yeah. So it was kind of a headache trying to play it those first two times. But like the potential there was immense, and I can see what they wanted to do. And it could have shaped up in that initial moment to be a great game. But I think now it finally hit its stride and got all the bugs out. And I'm hearing now that there's a big resurgence, and probably due to this anime as well, of the game. And a lot of people are coming back and enjoying it.
Yeah.
Super dope. Super dope. I know Rob and I haven't watched it, but what are your thoughts? Or what have you seen from it, Rob, or heard about it?
Yeah, I haven't played it. I remember when it came out, it was one of those. It was like everybody was getting this game, and it was like supposed to be the game, the reason you got like the PS5 or the next Xbox or whatever. I even saw a post today. Somebody was just like, there was a video of like Robin and like Teen Titans Go as like the Teen Titans towers collapsing. He's like, this was the roach in my PS4 as I booted up Cyberpunk 2077 as the thing was just like collapsing.
Oh, wow.
But obviously, like, it had a reputation of having a lot of expectation behind it, and then very quickly I heard about those bugs. Reminded me a lot of the rollout of like No Man's Sky, which had a lot of hype behind it, and then just disappointed.
Yeah.
Even Battlefront 2 similarly. But with both of those games, both Battlefront 2 and No Man's Sky, the development team stuck with it.
They
improved it, and both of those games improved vastly over what they were when they first came out. And I hope, and it sounds like that's what they're doing with Cyberpunk.
Which is crazy, too, because it's like, who are those people that's still playing it that's just like, hey, man, come back, y'all. Like, no, this shit live now. Like, somebody had to be consistently playing it throughout the entire time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously the company can come back and be like, hey, guys, we upgraded this. Mm-hmm. But then it had to be a person in the community be like, no, this shit fire, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I feel like in cases like that, it could be sometimes like the game was never necessarily bad, like you said, it was just buggy. It was just like, man, but the game could be fire if it wasn't buggy like this.
Yeah.
So it could have been that. But you know, sometimes I guess the way games are even built now, it's like you can put them down and then all of a sudden they put upgrades to them. It's just like, all right, it's a brand new game essentially.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, the video game stuff has changed, like DLC. Super Nintendo and Genesis, like that stuff back in the day.
If you had a shitty game back then, it was just going to be a shitty game forever.
Yep.
You got to take that out.
You just had to take that.
You had to wait to Madden 2000, whatever came out, whatever.
Spend $60 on trash. Real quick shout out to SlowRC3. He had an additional factual actual here.
Yep.
He asked if we mentioned Mike Pondsmith, which we did not, but he apparently created the board game that the show and the video game are based Black off dude of. Too. So that's actually where it came from. Yeah. Was,
so it's a board game.
It was a board game. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I'm interested to see what the board game even kind of like entails and looks like, how it runs. For me, the only thing I remember is Keanu Reeves was like backing the hell out of this.
Yeah, he's a character in there.
Yeah.
So I also remember being super delayed, and that was one reason why people didn't like what they got was because they'd waited like 2.5 years for this, and then it was... what you put out was something that was super buggy.
It was just a stretch too of games that were hyped up and didn't live up to it. Like Anthem came out before that. Mm-hmm. Anthem
it was all like
was
the same
one.
Era too. It was like that. Maybe COVID messed up its release schedule. Or something
Anthem
like that.
Was supposed to be a big deal, and then Anthem ended up being whack too. And it has not had the same resurgence as Cyberpunk has.
All right, so I guess we could kind of put these next two questions kind of together in a sense. Do you think this could be a realistic future for us, the cyberpunk future? And do you want a technological heavy type future? First, do you think this could be realistic for us? Absolutely. I think some of the stuff is coming. I think, you know, we looked at something like Black Mirror. We've kind of seen some of the stuff where, like, you know, the eyes and people are probably answering their phones. And you can just, you don't have to have a phone now. It's just kind of like embedded in your brain. I can already see people like adding little either chips into like their wrist for like just, you know, they can just download information quicker or whatever the case may be. I see that coming at least for our grandkids. Yeah. It might be faster than that, to be honest with you. And also too, I just think a lot of the stuff could be pushed in a sense for the metaverse. Mm-hmm. Like the way the metaverse is being set up,
could be a way to circumvent a lot of those.
For sure, it's delaying right now. The metaverse is kind of slowing down now, but I think in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see like a crazy just push for it. Do I want a technology heavy future like this? That's very scary.
Would you get your arm replaced for like a bionic arm?
Well, that's the next question.
I don't. Yeah, that's the next question. But man, I think at first it's gonna seem fine, but I don't want to be a slave to technology to where I feel like I can't control myself.
Have you seen Repo
Man? You don't know
who
else could like hack if it's hackable. Like you wouldn't want to have some like hackable tech inside of your
body. And that's the thing right there.
And you just like your hands just start going
like they go jack off. Stop. And that's what I can see somebody petty doing some shit like that.
Yeah, like they don't want nothing malicious. Yeah. They just want you to jack off in front of the love of your crush. Like,
hey, girl, how you? That'll be super, super horrible. Ice, what about you? How do you feel?
Realistic, yes, to the extent of cyberpunk. I don't think that's ever going to happen. And I say that with optimism. Yeah. Like, I hope there's, like, at some point, but, I mean, we're also, not to get super political, but we're also in the same space that's making decisions on women's bodies. Like, so it's like, I would hope us as a human race don't go this far, but I think the almighty dollar reigns supreme over any type of moral values.
Technology reigns supreme, so, too. Yeah.
I think there could be places like this that could pop. I don't think the entire world will look like this, but it's possible that different countries, different cities.
It's like Tokyo. They're already kind of ahead of shit. So.
I just feel like, like almost everything, initially, I feel like it might start in the medical field. And it's just like, hey, this is a great medical advancement.
Someone
we can do
it
to do this.
And like,
then somebody gets fired, and then they pull in a Mysterio. Yeah. And then they're just like,
literally.
And then they just start using it, you know, using it for the wrong thing. Do I want a technology heavy future? I don't. I do. I think where we're at, maybe like just cure cancer. Like, let's do that. Let's cure cancer. Take care of like the heavy stuff, the HIV, the AIDS. Like, get technology to a point where it takes care of all that shit, and then let's just stop.
Yeah.
Let's just stop from there. I think if we can do that, then I'm good, and we don't need flying cars. We don't need
we can't drive regular cars.
Exactly. We don't need enhancements that's in our necks. We don't need all of that shit.
Yeah.
What about you, Rob?
No, I definitely think this is a very realistic future, and like the part that like really stuck with me that I was like, oh shit, is. This could be our future is when he's just sitting there in the car and he's just waiting for the ambulance to come. And he's like, oh, they're here. They give that quick scan. They're like, ah, they're not insured.
Exactly.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And they just turned around and left. Yeah. And like, even after all that, like, they were just like, yeah, this is why people want insurance.
Yeah.
Like, because if you don't,
it's spooky.
That's a very real thing. That's that's something that people deal with today.
Mm. Yeah.
Except sometimes it's the flip side where they're like, no, don't call the ambulance. I don't have insurance.
I don't have insurance.
Yeah, right.
He's going to call me five to a G to get over there.
You fucking mush. Mm-hmm. You're a fucking noodle. Mm-hmm. And you're just I'll ride it off.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, Ice, that it could start out in like the medical field. I hope they just like get it to a point where it's useful. But I don't know. I think, like you said, too, like it's the dollar over everything. If they can figure out a way to get a dollar out of it, they absolutely will invest more time and energy into it. Do I want that? I think technology is cool. You know, we'll get a little bit more into that on the next question. But, like, I wouldn't necessarily want a feature like that. Like, even just so much as, like, you know, recently I went back home to Syracuse, New York, which is, you know, still, like, a small to medium-sized city. But, like, even just being in L.A., going to a small to medium-sized city, I'm like, this is nice. Like, there's nature out here. And it's nice to, like, get away from that noise sometimes.
You can drive on an open road with 300 other cars on it.
At any point of the day.
You know? And so, like, to just get to that, to, like, always be plugged in. I just don't know that that would be good for us. That seems like junk food.
I mean, it's a little overwhelming now, to be honest.
We're
media.
Already dealing with the health effects, like actual health and mental effects of.
And I even have to check myself. I wake up and hop on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
And it's like, you got to stop.
It's my reflex just like, hey, what's on Twitter? What's the news?
Man.
As soon as I wake up,
I immediately regretted this.
I feel terrible now. Why did I do this?
Now I'm depressed already at 7 a.m. And it's like, I could have waited until like at least 10 a.m. for this to happen.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Right, I think of Repo Man, too. I don't know if you guys seen that movie, but like, like a lot of Repo Man vibes. Basically, the premise of Repo Man is like they give, you know, they give out, loan out organs to people or body parts to people, and then they pay on the body parts.
What's his name?
Forrest Whitaker is in it. He's the main character.
Okay.
But like they loan out body parts to people, and if people can't pay, they come repossess the body parts.
Woof.
But then the main dude that's not Forrest Whitaker, the other main dude, he gets a body part, and you know, he did basically.
You're not getting this back.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's go into that. Like, would you surgically upgrade your body with cosmetic technology if it can make you faster, stronger, et cetera? Rob?
I wouldn't. I was just talking with somebody even beforehand, before we got on the podcast, about like some just minor surgery they have coming up. And I was like, even that, like, just like as an elective surgery is hard for me to want to do. I mean, you have that added benefit of like being faster or stronger. But just like you guys said, like, what if it's hackable? Like, what if, like, you know, shit overheats sometimes? Like, I don't want to chip on my brain. Like
a recall.
Oh, we found the part we made actually causes cancer, so we got to take all that.
Are you 15 years deep into it? So you got whatever that recall is, that's you.
Gen one is gonna be tough. So I mean, because even at the end of the show, I mean, I'm assuming that this character is gonna have to like upgrade themselves, and like they do have that a little bit now where people like will put magnets and stuff in like their arms. It's just like they can unlock their own personal stuff, like they can feel magnetic fields. It's very cosmetic, and it doesn't do a whole lot. And to me, I'm just like, you know, more power to you, not for me.
I think the only way this happens is if I'm losing something.
As if like, oh, my heart's gonna fail, we need to attach this thing to it to keep it going.
Yeah,
I'm like, gonna die anyways.
Yeah,
if there's an accident, somebody loses an arm or a leg, like, you know, I hope that they have that available for people to, to, you know, and make sure their quality of life maintains. But if, like, totally cosmetic to just be like, oh, I want a grenade launcher in my arm, like, I don't think so, man.
It would be done like that. It would be like, if it was like an arm that got lost, whatever the case may be, it would be something like that, where I'll just be like, well, fuck it. If this is the best I can do, I have to get like a metal arm, like Full Metal Alchemist. I rock with that. And just be like, you know, out there with it. You know, I think you know, you'd be on a date and girl. I mean, I'm married, but you know, if you were single, you'd be like, oh, you know, see the
would
metal arm,
bedazzled.
You can do some dope shit with it. You know, you get
a bedazzle.
You get a bedazzle.
Bedazzled.
It's gonna be terrible because you're gonna have rappers out here with Gucci arms. It's gonna be horrible. I got the Dior
Gucci
chest.
Arm.
I got the Dior torso out here.
But then when it goes out of style, you gotta get a whole new chest.
Gotta get a whole new
like, think about somebody back in the day getting a Famous Star chest.
Yeah. Oh man,
a fucking Ed Hardy chest.
Now, my God.
Look at you're played out, sucker. Von Dutch.
When I got this, Ed Hardy was cool. That's so funny.
I can't afford to upgrade to the new.
It's like Affliction on his fucking clavicle.
It's a dragon across it. Oh, that's terrible.
That's Affliction.
But that would be the only way I would do it. If it was something like that, I wouldn't just do it just to do it. No way.
Right.
Yeah, not at all. I'm good. Like,
even if. Like something happened to.
If something happened to me, I would have to be like either New Kid or Icy. And I was just like, all right, I want to be around for these next couple of years. I want to see Icy get drafted. I want to see Icy graduate. I want to see Icy get his master's or doctorate or whatever. And like, if like there's some big milestones coming up in his life and I want to see those on my new child's life, I would do it for that. Yeah. And then, but if Icy's fucking 50. And I love my grandkids, but like, nah, man, let's just get me up out of here. Like, you know, I've seen my grandbabies, cool. And I say that now as somebody that don't have grandkids, but like, nah, man. Like, I think if it's something, a substantial event coming up, I'd do it for those couple years. Yeah. But other than that, I'm good. I mean,
yeah.
And because then it's also just like a steroids thing. It's tainted. Like, if I win the 100 meters, like, they're going to have separate 100 meters now. Like, this is the 100 meter for, you know, for enhanced people. Like, yep. That's good.
All right, next question. So we saw in here that, that old boy kind of like downloaded a new fighting style so he can start fighting and whooping ass and slapping up David and stuff like that. Yeah. If you could choose one fighting style software to upgrade into you automatically and learn, which one would it be? Man.
There's a lot.
I mean, just for what I watched and saw myself and like just watching movies and watching like fucking Tony Jaa. It's like Muay Thai.
I literally looked up Tony Jaa. Like, what's he do? Because that shit is crazy. Yeah.
Muay Thai with the fucking the elbows and knees just breaking cats down.
Yeah.
All that shit was so. I literally was going to get into Muay Thai when I saw, like, I think it was it The Protector?
Mm-hmm. The Protector is nuts.
Yeah. I think it was that movie. I was like, I'm going to learn Muay Thai. And I was just like, and I talked to a homie, but he's like, bro, it's just going to be years before you get to that level. Like, maybe even decades before you get to that.
Yeah. You're dedicated to doing it.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, I'm not that dedicated.
I can't have that.
I want to be a choreographer now. There's no hobby Muay Thai.
That's so funny. That's like, there's so many things that I've come across in life that I've really wanted to do, like, post being an athlete. And it's like, you have to dedicate your life to just like, fuck, well. Can't do it. Martial arts is one of those things.
Otherwise, you have to be satisfied with just not being super, super awesome.
Exactly.
At it.
Like
the discipline aspect.
Yeah, I ain't got it. So, yeah, but I would choose Muay Thai. Why? What would you choose?
Muay Thai was top of my list, so I got to pull an audible. I would go with ninjutsu. It'd be super dope to just be like, even like just from, obviously it's not like a straight up like necessarily face to face type of fighting technique, but even just the practicality being like, I can just like silently get in and out of places.
Rob's just everywhere and we don't know. Because
Batman's got the ninjutsu stuff and just be able to like Batman like pop up behind people like, hey, what's up? That would be a lot of fun just to like mess with people. And I think it would just be like a practical use if I'm someplace where I'm like, I want to get out of here quietly
little
or
League
whatever.
League of Shadows action.
You know, a little League of Shadows, like you said. I think that'd be super dope. That'd be really cool. Not necessarily a flashy fighting style, but I think high practicality.
Yeah,
that's where I go with ninjutsu.
Nice.
Jeet Kune Do, made famous by Bruce Lee.
Okay.
So yeah, just like I think Bruce Lee encapsulated both great offense and great defense, and I think more defensive minded, you know, kind of like a stay dangerous type of mindset of like, yeah, man, you can bring, you know, it's like I'm like water in a sense, and I think he personified that really well, and I think that's definitely what I would want as far as a fighting style, just because I'd be good on all fronts.
The one other thing, is it Capoeira? Is that what it is? It's like
Capoeira.
Eddie.
From what's his name? Tekken.
Like Brazilian like dance like martial art. Yeah, that's pretty dope.
They do it on fucking what's that cartoon? Bob's Burger. Like,
oh, they do?
Yeah. There's like, I think, what's her name? Tina. I think she's in love with like her Brazilian
instructor.
And he kind of does that. Come away. He's like, come away. It's just like, it's so funny on there how they do it. It's hilarious.
Bob's Burgers is great.
Yeah, Bob's Burgers is a great show. So pretty much this is the last two questions, but they can kind of go together in a sense. When is the time when a girl played you, and then would you still go after, because this is pertaining to Lucy, would you still go after Lucy after she told you she sold you out to the gang, even though the gang ended up letting you in anyways? So, Ice, I know the first part of your question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the time that I got played, I mean, it was relatively shortly after I had Icy, and then I started doing dumb shit I didn't learn from my past mistakes, I guess, quote unquote, of sex without condoms. But long story short, this lady that I was with, that I was messing around with, tried to say that she was pregnant, and she wanted me to pony up some money for an abortion or for the child. She was like, either one. And she was like, yeah, it's going to cost. I think she just didn't think the plan through all the way, because she was just like, I need the abortion or this kid is going to cost at least $2,000. And I'm like, I haven't had an abortion in my life before, and I haven't really taken care of a child just as much yet, but I don't think $2,000 is abortion money. Like, I haven't done the research, and this is also, like, 2010, so it's like, I haven't done extensive research, but that just sounds like an outlandish amount of money. So I'm like, okay, like, let's kind of see where this goes, but long story short, she was never pregnant. She was just trying to finesse, and that's, like, a thing that she did.
Jesus.
But yeah, I did feel played in that moment because I think, granted, I didn't give up any money. The emotional stress mm-hmm. of that was, especially after having a kid, and just like, hey, I'm protected from this point out, and I ain't gonna be in this spot ever again in my life. And mm-hmm. I think to be back in that spot again within maybe 1 to 2 years after that, I was just like, yeah, like I can't, like I can't, like the it wore me like down for like a good month and a half of like. It was terrible.
Yeah.
So I think just being in that spot, I felt super played. But it taught me a lesson. And from that point forward, we're 13 years past now. I'm good. No abortions that I know of. And no more babies.
Rob.
And I wouldn't let Lucy, like, would I still go after Lucy? No, like, because it's going to be in the back of my mind that you played me. Mm-hmm. No matter what the cost, no matter what it is, like, that's going to be kind of in the back of my mind. It would take a long period of time for me to forgive you.
Yeah.
Mm. I got you.
Rob.
Yeah, I guess to start with, I don't really have anything as like, crazy as that, but I do remember, like, I first moved to L.A., and there was a girl that I was interning with. At this office, and I was like, I was kind of into her, and I was like, hey, you know, like, we should hang out, you know, mm-hmm. like, we should go out. And she was like, yeah, sure. And like, we were talking or whatever, and she's like, yeah, like, maybe you could give me a ride home, yada yada, like, yeah. And, you know, we talking, like, I was like, yeah, cool, like, so I remember I gave her a couple rides home, and I was just like, yeah, we should hang out sometime. Like, every single time, she was just like, oh, something came up.
Something came up.
I think every guy has been there.
And I was just like, free ride.
She just wanted that free ride, and I was just like, you know what? We work the same internship. She knows I don't have any money.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting paid the same thing.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was definitely like a lesson in like moving to the big city and being like, okay, it's a different style of game.
So did you stop giving her rides?
Oh yeah. I was like, no, I gotta go. Yeah. I'm out. And like, we weren't even necessarily working together that long. And it was definitely just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I moved on pretty
good
quick.
Good for you, Rob.
I appreciate that. Mm. Would I still go after Lucy? I want to believe the self-respecting part of me would say no, but damn, like Lucy for me is just like, Lucy is that girl. Yeah. Like to me, I'm just like, that is a good looking anime girl. Yeah. Like they definitely put it. Yeah. I was like, that would be tough.
Even with that terrible haircut, she's she's still bad.
So it would be tough, but I want to believe I would say no, especially like after at the party and he's just like watching her from afar like, ah, David, come on, man. Got to learn some self-respect. You got to move on. Don't give that girl any more rides, David. No more free rides.
No more free rides.
Man, time a girl played me. I feel like my answer is in between Ice's and Rob's, where it's like a little bit more crazier than Rob's, but it's not as crazy as Ice's, man. Mm. But there's a song named after it. He thought I was feeling you. Thinking you a munch. I don't know if you know what a munch is. But I've been a munch. A munch is pretty much a guy where a girl calls over a guy to just go down on her. And then she kind of goes, all right, it's time for you to go. Yeah, and I thought I was coming through for the full package.
Yeah.
Like the full experience.
Woo!
So I went over there for the full experience, had the, you know, like the Jimmy hat in my pocket. I was like, oh, yeah, it's going down.
Jimmy hat.
And this particular girl, she was bad. You know, it's stupid to say this, but it's like, you know, she was bad. So I was going to do it, whatever, right?
Yeah,
right. And then, so when that happened, you know, she's just like, oh, after I finished, you know, or she finished, got her, she's like, oh, man, you know, my head kind of hurt, man. Got to be up like at 4 a.m. too. I was just you know. Yeah, mine.
You should have told her. I can be quick.
Yeah, and I said everything. I did the whole class, you know, and I was just like, hey, you ain't even got to do anything. You know, I just like, just you can just turn over. I can just, you know, just, and just we out of here. You know what I'm saying? And she was just like, hey, I got to be up like at 4. I'm too tired, man. I was just like, aha.
How old were you?
All right, then. Oh. I was in my early 20s. And I was just
hold on, let me hear it again. How did you sound after?
I holla at you then. And just that walk. It wasn't even a full walk back to the door. It was like she kind of walked like back to like where her kitchen was.
Yeah.
And then it was just like I walked to the door. She kind of stopped like at her kitchen. Like, all right, I'll talk to you.
Damn.
And then I opened the door. I remember I just sat in my car. I was just like,
still,
I was hot.
She was on your lip too. You smelled it,
bro. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It don't get off your face until you got to get out of there. Yeah. You got to go home and wash the shit up. But so I was just like, yo. And all honesty, I was just like, bro,
damn.
I am. I was in my head. I was like, revenge is coming. And I didn't.
You should have just taken a shower right there. Yeah. Okay, I got to take a shower then. Just walk into her bathroom.
I mean, I guess I could have forced it, but I didn't have no clothes.
No, I get that. I get 100% get what
you're like, I just got to get something out of here.
I was shook. Bro, I was just like, oh, that's because that first time I ever happened to me. Happened. Yeah. Like, after that, it happened. And, but then eventually the girl was like, I didn't do it on purpose in a sense. It was just like, yo, I just, like, you know, and then the next time we end up doing it, whatever the case may be. But yeah, would I go after Lucy? After the munch experience, absolutely not.
Yeah, hell no.
After going through that, I know, especially at this age right now, the way my brain works is like I can go into fuck you mode immediately if you play me like that.
Mm.
Really quickly, it don't matter how bad you are. It don't matter if it's the baddest chick in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't care. It's like, well, I'm serious. I hear it. It's wide open for you. I'll give it to you wide open right now. I'm like, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get
turned
it
off now.
I'm going to be in my head like, ah, shit. But I'm like,
so you never got back at home, girl? You never ended up fucking her ever?
No.
You stopped talking to her too, though?
Did you stop giving her rides? I think I texted her, and then she starts to slowly ghost me after that. I'm just like, oh, she literally, this is a setup. Like, this is like I've been bamboozled, baby.
Yeah, you was a real munch for real.
Yeah, I was a super munch. I was just like, that's why when I heard that song.
Bamboozled.
When I heard old girl with the munch song, I was like, this shit. And I was like, then I found out what it was. I was like, oh, you one of them.
Damn.
Yeah. You mother Ice Spice.
That's her name. Shit.
Yeah, that's all the question portion of the show. Let's give our likes, dislikes, and then our scores. You want me to go with give Brendan's first?
I don't have his thoughts, but I need to give
Brendan. So we didn't get Brendan's thoughts on it, but Brendan did give an overall score for these episodes 1 through 3. Gave us 7,400 for his score. Rob, what do you think? What do you think of the show?
This was a cool show. I got to be honest, my expectations were not very high. You know, coming into it, like, this is something that's, you know, Netflix has got a mixed track record, in my opinion.
Definitely does. For sure.
And, you know, something that's adapted from a video game, that's usually not a good sign.
Yeah.
But I was very pleasantly surprised, like, right from the get-go. I was like, oh, there's a lot happening. It's very over the top. Gives me a lot of Blade Runner sort of feels. I'm a big fan of the Blade Runner movies.
Love Blade Runner. Both of them.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying it. I'd probably give this a 7,200.
7,200?
Yeah.
Okay. Ice.
This is probably the I haven't enjoyed an anime that we've went through like this in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially 3 episodes in, it hooked me. I enjoyed the 3 episodes; they went fast. I think this is the first first anime in a long time that I actually was just contemplating, like, man, fuck these guys, I'm gonna just keep watching it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, because I give Kenan such a hard time on that shit. So I was like, I can't do that. But I liked it. I like the characters. I like what's going on. I guess my only ice part of it is like, hopefully he wins, because he just took L's for 3 straight episodes.
Hella L's, bro.
And, like, to the highest level of L's. Yeah. Like, lose your mom, get finessed, get kicked out of school, you owe a ton of money, the girl that played you, that you still like, is with some other dude. Like, in 3 episodes, he took 4 or 5 seasons worth of L's.
Yes.
In 3 episodes.
Dude has had a bad week.
Yeah. So I think he got to get some wins. Hopefully he gets some wins by the end of the season. I hope this is not one of those, I don't even want to say the show, but it's a show that I like, that she always loses, and her losing is the plot point throughout all of the seasons of the show.
Yeah.
And I think that was very frustrating to me. Like, I love the show, but like, her losing was what pushed the story forward.
Right.
And that was very upsetting. So I don't want it to be one of those things. I want David to get his win. But I enjoyed it. 7,500.
It's funny. When I first pitched this show to Rob, Rob was just like, man, I don't know, man. I don't want to do another video game to, like, you know, we haven't watched an anime in a very long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I told him to look it up or not. But I was just like, all right, just give it some time or whatever. He's like, I might looking for something else real quick. I think he texted me back like,
yeah, I watched the trailer for this, and I was like, all right, I'm in. Yeah.
He's like, I'm in, bro. Let's rock. And I was just like, all right. I was like, because what I saw looked fire.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, I mean, Netflix right now, video game to anime adaption. I mean, we kind of gave what's the name? What's the show again? Arcane. We kind of get that some solid scores too.
That's true. Yeah. That's Arcane. It's another video game adaptation.
And we
get
some pretty solid scores. And this right here, man, I love the 80s style. I love that kind of 80s futuristic, the way that how things light up and stuff like that. I was like, I was already neon, all in from that. Neon stuff. I saw a clip. The clip that I saw to get me into this was like kind of graphic and it was fucking shit up. And as we
has seen, that happened?
The clip that I saw, I don't think happened yet. Okay, I gotta even remember the clip I saw, but it was like I think it was with a. When I remember with somebody else.
Man, people on this show are getting fucked up.
They wasted no time.
So this to me, it has a great level of violence. I like I know I like my anime kind of violent, but it has a good level of violence. I think that the world building has been pretty good so far, even in three episodes. It's been solid. The character building with David is just like, damn, you've seen this kid. Like you said, he's going through shit, bro. And it's hurt. It's just like you feel for him. So for me, overall, as of right now, these first three episodes, I am all in. I need room for this anime to grow, though, so I'm just giving it a 7,500 also.
I'm not the lowest score.
No, Brendan is actually the lowest score. Oh, actually, actually, Rob. But I think this show has a lot of room to grow. It can be really great. So, I mean, I'm all into the animation style. I think it does a really good job. So let's drop our handles and everything like that. What you got for us, Rob?
Yeah, I want to shout out Sean Dobbin Art on Instagram, SEANDOBBIN underscore art. Check out their stuff. We actually posted some of their artwork on our Instagram earlier this week because they have a piece of work of Cyberpunk. They had David Martinez as he's doing his Sandoval sort of like speed shifting. But he's also got like Ken from Street Fighter, Batman. He's got Vecna from Stranger Things. He's got stuff from all kinds of different stuff. Check them out. They got a really dope style. They're from London. Sean Dobbin Art on Instagram. Oh, and Spike Spiegel is the as their profile picture. So, give him a look.
Yeah, this is giving me this is doing better 80s kind of vibes than I feel like I can think of the show name right now. You just said Cowboy Bebop. I thought their soundtrack is still incredible. The soundtrack on here is probably not as good as right now, but like, it's doing
it. It's cool. They got some big songs. They got Franz Ferdinand doing the opening song, "Take Me Out" or whatever, something like that.
Yeah,
isn't that the song?
Yeah,
Rock Band.
Brennan produces on every single. Brennan's
a bitch.
That too. You can find him there. That's his other Twitter. Yep. Yeah, it'll be him. Him with that stupid ass hat on. Go ahead, Ice.
Hey man, I know we only got a couple minutes left, but I wanted to give y'all shit. And I know I've been a guest host, but y'all motherfuckers forgot my birthday. And I wanted to give y'all shit on air about it.
We did?
Y'all did. Y'all definitely did. Y'all didn't tell me the day of, and y'all didn't do nothing for the podcast. You guys are fucking wild.
We fucked up.
You're supposed to be my guys. I know, like, I know y'all gonna rebuttal to the guest host shit, but I'm gonna beat y'all to the punch. Fuck that.
Was you here on your birthday?
No, but I haven't.
Fuck all that.
I've never been here on my birthday. That following episode that I'm on, y'all always have something. Either the one before or the one after.
Was you here the following week?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
All right. Y'all played me out.
Happy birthday, guys.
I feel.
My bad, man.
And I pull up.
Is it better or worse that I had no idea?
Worse.
Okay.
I think none of us know when each other's birthdays actually are.
Gun to my head, I couldn't name a single person.
But there's always somebody that do the side chat of like, hey.
That's the thing I rely on that.
Yeah. It's always the side chat of like, hey, such and such birthday is coming up. Let's do the thing.
I feel like somebody normally gives a warning that a birthday is coming up. So I know Brennan knows Rob for sure. So normally
I know Brennan's because he doesn't make anyone else not know it.
That's right. True. He does.
So
then
I know Kenan's. So I've said Kenan's.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same day every year, though.
Robert is what, in February?
It's February. Yeah.
I just know it's in February. Yours just passed.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I can't even say it on air. I can't say what I can say on air right now. Okay. I can't even say it.
Oh, is this like snitching on me or something?
It's not really snitching on you, but it's something else. But and I thought it was, but I was just like, I feel like he would have said something, but I'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
I'll take the apology. I apologize for that.
Our bad.
Is it July or June, Cam?
For me?
Yeah.
Neither.
Okay. Somebody said this. Cam was July or June. That's what somebody in the chat said.
Oh wait, I April.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell you when Brennan's is at all. I can't give you a month of Brennan's.
Brennan's March 8th.
Yeah, because it's shortly after Rob's, because he got all them cakes.
Yeah.
That is right. It is right.
That is
Rob's.
Right.
Yeah. Shit. I knew Isis was near mine, but I didn't know when it was near mine. I just know it was within a month or two of mine. But, like, I wasn't exactly sure.
To get those in the calendar.
Yeah, did we do anything for your birthday?
Yeah.
We missed my birthday one time, that's though. That's why I'm just like, hey, man.
When did we miss your birthday?
Oh, we did. Remember we missed my birthday the first time? And I was like, well, fuck y'all. I missed my birthday. I didn't celebrate my birthday. I was pissed off.
Really?
I came on air and cussed y'all out.
Yeah. Was I here?
Yes. Right. I literally came on air and cussed y'all out. Y'all was
well,
like,
well, fuck all of y'all for missing my shit. Nothing.
No, hey, fuck you for missing mine at one point. So, hey, we're even now.
No,
baby.
That's not no. Even, yeah, that's, it is.
You sound
even.
Like a cheater backer. Like, oh, you cheated on me, I'm cheating back on you. No, fuck that.
Anyway, but yeah, of course, apologies across the board. Nothing's done on purpose. I just had out of mine.
Fuck out of here.
Give Ice some birthday love. We're going to do something for him in the next podcast. If he's going to even be here, but we'll most likely still
be here.
We'll have a party if he's
not. Yeah. We'll still do some stuff for him, get him some stuff or whatever the case may be. And I'll tell you off here what it was. But thank y'all for Keenan Baker on every single thing.
I stopped all platforms.
Anime Shun on every single thing. Join that Patreon, patreon.com/AnimeShun. And we thank y'all for tuning into another episode of Anime Shun. Edge Runners 4-6 next week. We out.
Edge Runners?
Yeah, Edge Runners.
And so anime was solved forever.